Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. I want to talk to you today on the subject, the God of increase wants to increase you. You may be seated. Not only is what is said important, but when it's said is important. I've been asked by many people, Pastor, do you think baptism is important for a Christian? The timing of when it's inserted into the Gospels is so very important. It was the last thing that Jesus talked about. If you realized that you were going to die, wouldn't you put a priority on the last thing you talked about? The last thing Christ talked about was baptism. That's how important it is. So important that he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. My subject is not baptism. It was the first thing that Peter ever talked about at the birthday of the church. The point I'm making, something importance is decided not only by the weight of the words, but with the timing of when it's said. And so with that in mind, what do you think and what have you recognized the first thing that God ever spoke to the human race? What did God say? This is the very first thing that God ever said to the human family, to mankind. And God blessed them. God started with blessing. That ought to tell you what God wants to do. God wants to bless us. That's paramount in God's mind. And God blessed them. And God said, this is the first thing that God ever said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God's keynote address. The keynote address of any conference, convention, is that first message that's given that is supposed to set the tone for the entire conference. God's keynote address, what was supposed to set the entire keynote, the entire theme for creation, was that God said to humanity, I want you to be fruitful, I want you to be multiply, I want you to multiply, I want you to replenish, I want you to subdue, I want you to have dominion. In other words, I want you to increase. God is a God of increase. He's very, very paramount about his concern that mankind increase. He said his government will always increase. Of the increase of his government, there is no end. God himself cannot increase, for he is from everlasting to everlasting. He was, is, and will be. His power does not increase, nor does it diminish. He is a constant authority, a constant power, a constant being. But he said his government will increase. In order for us to understand that, we need to look a little at the word government. There's long definitions of the word government, but I lift from these few words. Direction and control exercised over the actions of the members. That's government. System of rule. That's government. Supreme authority. That's government. God wants to increase his influence in your life. Because the more God increases the influence in your life, the better your life will be. The more authority you will have, the more possessions you will receive. God wants to increase his government in your life. Job said, what I feared came upon me. But I would rather say it this way, what I faithed came upon me. The principle that you embrace about something or somebody will become the dominant spirit in your life. If you see somebody as an enemy, they will be an enemy in your life. If you see something as a negative force, it will always be a negative in their life. Some people see the government of the United States as a negative force in their life. I have great disagreements with the government on many things, but the bottom line is that the peace that I enjoy and the freedom that I embrace is because of the government. It might not be perfect, but it's worked pretty well so far. And so instead of seeing the country as negative, I see it as the greatest place on the face of the earth. The way you look at it and the way you observe it is what will become dominant in your life. And so the question, what is your pervasive concept of God? How do you look at God? Those that are not in God's house today look at him in one of two ways. He is either a being to be feared, or he is a non-entity in their life to be ignored. We that are here have a totally different concept and envisionment of God. We believe that God is. And the Bible said in order to please God, you must believe that he is. The weird minority of atheist agnostics say there is no God. They are in a small minority. But most people believe there is a God. But it's not enough to believe there is a God. The Bible said that Satan himself, the devil, believes there is a God, but his response to that God is not correct. The way he looks at God is what makes him the devil. The Bible said that Satan believes there is a God and he trembles. His concept of God puts him at odds with God. Many people today that are not in the house of God have a concept of God that puts them at odds with God, where you and I are totally different. We believe that he is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We believe that he is the help in the time of need. We believe he loves and not hates us. We believe he extends not judgment but mercy. That's our concept of God. And what you decide about God, the way you faith God, will make your life either miserable or tremendously abundant and fulfilled. He is a God that takes away, or he is a God that rewards. I choose to believe that he is a God that rewards. That's the reason why many people do not attend the church. They believe the church is an agent of God, and the only thing that the church wants is your money. They have come to the conclusion that he is a God that takes away. I have come to the conclusion that he is a God that it literally rewards me. He is a God that gives to me and then presses it down, shakes it together, and runs it over. I have found him to be a good God in every concept of my life. When I am weak, he is strong. When I am strong, he is stronger. When I am fearful, he is faithful. When I'm confused, he is sanity. He is a good God all the time. So some people believe in a God that they need to be fearful of, and they're in a constant attitude of hurt. But to me, I am a person that believes in a God I have faith in, and so I'm in a constant state of healing. Somebody said, the moment you die, the moment you're born, you begin to die. I understand what they're saying, but because of my faith in God, I believe that God is constantly supplanting me. God is constantly renewing me. God is constantly restoring me. God is constantly healing me. That's my concept of God. Some have a fear of God that lands them in poverty, but I have faith in God that it brings me to a place that I am ever increasing. Friends, I'm not as young as I used to be. I woke up this morning without one pain in my body. I woke up this morning with the joy of the Lord. I woke up believing that the next days of my life will be greater than those that are behind me. I woke up with more money in the bank than I've ever had in my life. Why? Because my concept is that my God is a God of increase, and that God wants to increase me. The extension of life is decided by the capacity to increase. If you have a capacity for increase, it will bring an extension in your life. God is a God of increase, an unending increase, and it desires the very same for you. Which do you believe about God? You say, I have a need and it's not met. So what conclusion do you come to? That God doesn't have it or God won't give it? I don't have either one of those conclusions. If I don't have it and I need it, I have this faith that God has it and God wants to get it to me. I might have to fight my flesh. I might have to fight the devil. I might have to fight doubt. I might have to fight fear, but praise God. I am under the persuasion that my God is a God of increase. And whatever the lack is in my life, God wants to get it to me. And I never have a doubt in my mind that God doesn't have it. He has all the mercy I'll never need. He'll have all the grace I'll ever need. He has all the healing I ever need. He has all the joy I'll ever need. He has all the spirit I'll ever need. He has all the abundance I ever need. What a God I serve. He is a God of tremendous increase. The Bible teaches us that we increase with the increase of God. It doesn't mean that God increases. He simply increases in us. As Marilyn Hickey says, let God live big in you. The Bible said, until Christ be formed in you. Christ might be in you, but he might not be at his capacity. He wants to expand himself, enlarge himself, increase in you until you have the mind of Christ. It is the spirit and the joy that overcometh this world. When you get filled with Christ, worry will not be the dominant factor in your life. Faith will. You won't be sweating it all the time. You'll say, I know my Lord is able, and I know my Lord will make a way where there is no way. Why? Because he is a God of increase, and God wants to increase me. John the Baptist made a great statement. He must increase, but I must decrease. John the Baptist was like so many people before him. He would have never been recorded or remembered if it had not been for the increase of Jesus Christ. He came talking about Christ, but if Christ had not increased, he would have been one more false prophet in a long line of false prophets. There were tens of thousands, hundreds at least, thousands at least, of men like John the Baptist that had walked through Jewish history for the last 400 years saying somebody's coming, but nobody ever showed up. But when John the Baptist said, I must decrease so he can increase, Christ came in and did exactly what John the Baptist said. He increased. The Bible said that he increased in stature before man and wisdom with God. He grew into what John the Baptist said he was going to be. And simply by that, John became a forerunner worth recording and remembering, and he's a famous person in history today. Friend, I tell you that if you can decrease in your life and let God increase, he will not only remember you, there will be a record of your victory from now to the end of eternity. We need to let Christ increase in our life. The Bible teaches in Colossians 2:19, not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands have nourishment ministered and knit together, increase with the increase of God. God wants to increase in you. God is a God of increase. When he sent Ezekiel out with a measuring rod, he said, measure it and see what you can find. Ezekiel hollered back to the shores of eternity and said, there is water up to my ankles. And God said, let's increase that. He waded out a little farther. He said, what you got now, Ezekiel? He said, I got water to my knees. And God said, let's increase that. What you got now, Ezekiel? I got water to my waist. And God said, let's increase that. And finally, he stepped off into the deep hole of God. Blessing, and he said, God, it's over my head. My feet can't touch the bottom. I'm swimming in it. I don't care how much blessed you are than the person you went to high school with. I can't help how greater you are than your cousin that turned his back on God 15 years ago. You have not exhausted the mercy of God. You have not bankrupt the grace of God. You have not in any way exhausted God's supply of health and happiness and monetary prosperity. There is a God that got up the this morning with one thing on his mind, and that was to bless you until you can't be blessed no more. Oh, praise God. Praise God. What a God we serve. We serve a God when he saw a little woman and she said, I have a need. Here's my vessel. God said, bring every vessel you got in your house. And she brought every pan and every pot she had. And God said, that's not enough. Go out to the vessel. Go out to the neighbors and borrow some vessels because I'm a God of increase and I want to increase you. And when she brought back what she had and when the two boys came back with what they could find, he said, go borrow some more. Borrow not a few, he said, because God said, I'm going to open up the spigot. And when I open up the spigot, it's going to be more than you can contain. God's in this house today. And somebody said, I just don't want to ask God for anything else because he's been so good to me. Those old humble Pentecostal people I was raised up with, their favorite testimony was, God's been better to me than he has anybody else. Let me give you some advice. Don't compare yourself to anybody else. Just compare yourself to yesterday and say, whatever God did yesterday, he's going to do some more tomorrow. He's going to do some more today. It's going to get bigger. It's going to get better. It's going to fill up, praise God. It's going to overflow. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God loved David. But he said, David, lift up your cup and I'll fill it up. And David said, my cup overflows. And God said, I learned my lesson. Man has a greater capacity than a cup. And when he found a little adulterous woman at the well, he didn't say, do you have a cup? He said, do you have a pitcher? I want to fill your pitcher up. He filled her pitcher up. And he said, not only that, I want to give you access to the well. Praise God. God gave lots of people the Spirit of God. But he looked one day and said, that's not enough. If you believe on me, as the Scripture has said, out of your belly shall come not a cup, not a pitcher, not a handful, not a bucketful. He said, out of your belly shall come a river. It will never cease to flow. I'm telling you that God is a God of increase. You need to look around and say, look what I got. God said he's going to make it better today. God said it's going to be bigger tomorrow. Can you throw your hands up and give God the praise? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I complained to my neighbor, which is not a viable Christian, maybe a nominal Christian. I complained to my neighbor because I sold a ranch and made $500,000 on it. And the guy I sold it to made $2 million from what they call fracking. I sold it too early. And I complained to my neighbor. And he said, Steve, I'm not going to feel very sorry for you because you're doing better than most of us. But you don't understand, sir. I'm not comparing myself to most of us. I'm comparing myself to the fact that God ain't through blessing me yet. It might have been $500,000 then, but it needs to be $1 million now. It might have been a healing then, but it needs to be divine health now. He is a God of increase. God finds no fulfillment except in increase. There are things that turn you on. There are things that fulfill you. There are things that satisfies you. Let me tell you this. My God is a God that can only be fulfilled with one thing, and that is increase. Whatever I've done, I'm going to do it bigger today. Whatever I've done in the past, it's going to be tomorrow greater. That's what God said. God didn't say, I will return the church to the glory of the former house. He said, no, I am going to perform a glory in the latter house that the former house never knew. He didn't say, I'm going to take it back to the latter rain. He said, I'm going to take the former rain and the latter rain and put them together. And in the last day of the church, I'm going to increase the church like it's never been increased before. Hallelujah. Some of you people have great criticism of the Church of the Living God. Let me tell you what you're like. You're like somebody that goes to a Spurs game an hour before tip-off and complains because the crowd is small. Wait till tip-off. They'll be here. Praise God. Wait till halftime. They'll be here. You ain't seen nothing yet. It ain't even tip-off compared to what God is going to do. My God is a God of increase. He will not be anticlimactic. He will not be diminished. Search out the best day of your life and say, oh, how I wished I could go back to that great day of my life. And let me as a pastor rebuke you in Jesus' name. Because God don't want to take you back. He wants to take you up. The best day in your life is pitiful compared to the day that is coming. You need to set your eyes not backward, but like a flint toward Jerusalem and say, everything about me says, it's coming. It's coming. The God of increase is on my trail. And whatever he's going to do, whatever he's done, he's going to do it bigger and better. That's the only thing that satisfies Almighty God. So I refuse neighbors to draw me back and say, don't complain because you're doing better than I'm doing. I'm not comparing myself with my neighbors or my brothers. I'm comparing myself by myself and saying, man, that was great. Can you do it again, God? God said, can I do it again? I can do it again bigger and better, and I will. As your faith, so be it unto you. Victory to victory and faith to faith. Has God ever healed you and you got a pain now? You need to stand up and grab that healing and say, God, you did it before. You're going to do it bigger now. Has God ever saved a family member and you've got a half a dozen going to hell now? You need to say, God, you saved my cousin. You're going to save my sister. You need to claim the very best because there is a God of increase that is your friend, and he wants to increase your life bigger and better than it's ever been. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. God is busy, and his busyness is that he would exceed and excel everything he's ever done in your life. He offers us life and said, no, make that abundant life. And then he said, no, make that eternal life. He's a God of increase. God offered us Emmanuel, God with us. The word Emmanuel, God be with us. He offered us that in Jesus Christ. But Jesus said, I must go away. Why? Because God's going to increase himself in you. Because it was Emmanuel, God with you. But when you received the Holy Ghost, God was no longer with you. He was in you. How many people know you can lose something if you have it with you? I've lost my car keys because I had them with me. I've lost my wallet because I've had it with me. But I've never lost my kidneys. I've never lost my heart. I've never lost my organs because they're in me. Ladies and gentlemen, I got saved and that was great because Christ was with me. But then one day he said, I want to increase. I said, bring it on, God. What do you do now? How in the world can you usurp what you've already done? And God said, watch me. I lifted my hands and threw back my head. And the God that walked with me and the God that talked with me and the God that was with me crawled up and got inside of me, and since that day he's never left me nor forsaken me. He's inside of me. Give God some praise in this house today. You say, I just can't deal with old age. That's because you think God is old. God ain't old. You might have been on this planet for 80 years, but God ain't old. And what he has done, he can do it bigger again. There are people that are beyond the age of 80 that are a real factor in life today because they just won't give up. Their capacity to be increased has extended their life and their abundance. Ladies and gentlemen, don't live in the past and say, well, the past is there and it was the best I'll ever see. No, 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 no. I'm telling you today, no matter your age, no matter your mistakes, there is a God that said, hey, I'm a God of increase, and what I've been to you before, I want to be better today. What I've done for you before, I want to do more today. God's in this house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A preacher came by, sat in my office. A preacher with him said, let's go out and see the auditorium. And the preacher said, he run 50 in his church. He said, no, I don't want to go see that auditorium. It just makes me feel bad about mine. And he said, you've seen one mega church, you've seen them all. There's a guy that will always be stooped in the past. There's a guy that will never accomplish much. I don't compare myself by anybody else. I only compare myself by yesterday. And every day I say, this is going to be better than yesterday. Why? Because my God is a God of increase. And He's never anticlimactic. He is a God that is able. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can somebody see themselves stepping into a new place today or tomorrow? Can somebody see themselves receiving a gift they've never had? Can somebody see themselves moving into a house they've never lived in? Can anybody see yourself driving a car you've never owned? When I was 21 years of age, I bought a town car. It was the most expensive car I could find. I was 21. It's tough making that payment. Man, I loved that thing. I got a text this week from a kid I've known all my life. He said, you picked me up in that new car, in that new Lincoln. I'd never been in one before. He had the right attitude. He said, I didn't begrudge you. I said, this is the kind of car I'm going to have. He said a few months later, I was able to buy one. We're talking 50 years ago. And he said, Steve, I've been buying a new one every year for 50 years. He got inspired. Praise God. He didn't come from a family of wealth, but something turned on in him. Well, I'm not too concerned about cars and clothes anymore, but I am concerned about the kingdom of God. And somebody said that we're living better than the book of Acts did. That's up for debate. I don't know whether we are yet or not, but I know that we're supposed to be. Whatever happened in the Bible is supposed to be happening now. Jesus didn't say, don't compete with me because I'm Christ and you're not. He said, I'm going to do these fantastic things and you won't do much. When they marveled at what he did, he turned around and said, greater works than these shall you do, because I will be not with you, I will be in you. Praise God. And the Bible said he sent his son to die for us. But read it in Hebrews 2. He said that one son led many sons unto glory. He is a God that cannot be diminished. He is a God that can't be smaller. He is a God that can't do less. He's a God that can't fall. He's a God that can't fail. He's a God that can't quit. He's a God that can't stop. He's a mighty God, and He's inside of you. It ought to bring you out of your pew. It ought to bring you out of your sickness. It ought to bring you out of your poverty. It ought to bring you out of your depression. It ought to bring you out of your fear. Stand on your feet, lift your hands, and confess that God is increasing me in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You haven't preached. You haven't preached until you preached a sermon that you can't forget. I'm ashamed to say that Natalie Pettis said to me in the foyer between service, she said, oh my, Wednesday night, what a sermon, it changed me. And I kept thinking, what did I preach? I finally had to go to my notes. That's a shame that I couldn't even remember what I preached Wednesday night. 20 years ago, Isaiah Williams, he's been in heaven for a long time now. He founded, built, and now his wife Gloria carries on the great church in Miami, Florida. It's called Jesus People Ministries, one of the greatest churches in America. And Isaiah was a wonderful man. He called me regularly, and I preached that I don't know how many times. I couldn't get him to come here and preach very often, but he had me often there. And then every time he'd come preach here, I tried to get him to come often, because every time he'd come, he'd give me $1,000 when he came here. And then he'd give the church $1,000. So I tried to get him to come often, but he didn't come that often. But I remember the last time I preached on a text I'd never preached on before. And the reason why I'm talking about it is, I don't remember Wednesday too well. This is 20 years ago, and I remember it well. It wasn't a text that I'd borrowed from somebody else. It was just what God gave me before I preached that day. This is it. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. My sermon that day was focused on this: able to do exceeding abundantly above all. There is a God that wants to exceed your best paycheck, your best joy, your best love. Go back and find out what the very best moment of love was in your life. And God said, I want to abundantly exceed that. Go back and find out your very best thing that happened on your job. And God said, I want to abundantly exceed that. You say, oh, that makes me feel good when I do this. Some of you will feel good about a stranger throwing a football to another stranger that they don't even know your name, and you'll be so excited about that. I try to get excited about that, but I know it's not going to affect me, so I'm not too excited about that. But I'm excited about this, that when I can find abundance anywhere in my life, if I can trace it back to yesterday or 5 years ago or 40 years ago, just find abundance and then bring it forward and say, God, look at this. And God said, to prove that I am God, the only thing that excites me is to exceed that abundance I've done in your life. Every day of your life, God is attempting to exceed the abundance of your previous days. It doesn't always happen, but it's not God's fault. It's because we don't have that concept of God. We have the false humility concept. Well, God's been good enough to me. I don't deserve any more. That's ignorance, and God hates it. Because, friend, when God heals you, it does not deplete his healing vault in heaven. When God writes you a check, it does not bankrupt his checking account in heaven. It actually excites God. And there's somebody in this building that you're not living where God wants you to live because you have the concept of religion. The concept of religion that says God wants you. You know, there are churches that take a vow of poverty when they go into the ministry. Wow. What an insult to God. God, no matter what you do for me, I promise you I'll stay poor. No matter how your healing virtue comes, I promise you, God, I'll be sick. I promise you, God, no matter what grace you afford me, I'll sin some every day. None of that pleases God. God wants to excel and exceed in your life. He wants you to be more than you've ever been. He wants you to possess more than you've ever possessed. He wants you to be able to praise better than you. God said, praise me. And I said, okay, God, I praise you. And God said, let's increase that. How about some high praise now? I gave him some high praise. And God said, how about some sacrificial? He's just a God of increase. He just wants it bigger and better all the time. No matter how good your life is, God wants your life bigger and better. He wants it to increase on Super Sunday. If there's anybody in this house today that the power of God has touched you and you said, I'm going to buy into this. I'm going to let the God of increase increase my life starting at noon on Sunday, on Super Sunday. My life's going to change. You ought to run out of your pew with both hands palmward and say, Lord God.